God bless you. Welcome back to Soteria Prophetic Ministries. I am your host, Delisa Fields, and I'm on location today. So I apologize in advance if you hear some feedback noise, some construction. I'm actually in the beautiful city of downtown Charlotte, and I wanted to pull a few moments out of my day to encourage and bless you in the Word. I wanted to, you guys know, I love spending time with the Lord in the mornings. My mind is fresh. I haven't encountered too many things that would try to distract me. So it's a perfect opportunity to just give that time and tithe that time unto the Lord. And the Bible tells us when we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, He directs our paths. And so one of the reasons why I've made it a creed, a doctrine in my life, is to rise up and give God that early morning glory. Amen. So a few things that I wanted to share with you very briefly, and it's regarding gardens, G-A-R-D-E-N-S. Do you not know that the word garden is mentioned 52 times in the King James Version Bible? 52 times. And when we think about garden, we also have to look at what's happening in the garden. The garden is, you know, it's going to represent life. It's going to represent growth. It's going to represent all types of processes. It's going to represent challenges. When you really think about it, even if you look at it from a scientific aspect, I was just communing in my spirit with the Lord this morning. And, you know, I had been taught, I put it like that, against science, that science is against Christianity or against faith, put it like that. So I was always taught, or always under the assumption, that science was against faith. Now we know that science, is research based. I mean, if it doesn't have a conclusion or a summary or some type of finding, then, you know, the hypothesis is sort of null and void. You throw it out, start over. And so sometimes it's hard for science to really grip what a life of faith is, because it's nothing that you can see. It cannot be physically manipulated. It's all spiritual. And so, but even in all of that, I was just meditating before the Lord, and the Lord was telling me that science in and of itself is not a bad thing. It's really not. There are many scientists who are believers, have strong faith. They believe in signs, miracles, and wonders, even though they're skilled, you know, in research and skilled in lab work and all of that, that I don't know anything about. But that's where God has graced them to spend those hours studying and researching and testing and, you know, surveying and all of that. That's their thing. But the Lord would have me to marry that to, I guess, the processes of the garden. And so that's kind of where I want to hit you a little bit today in the Word with. I'm going to open in Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And I just have before me all the 52 verses that the Bible speaks about with regard to the garden, because there's something very phenomenal here. And we know that there's 52 weeks in a year. So that, I think, the garden, the theme of the garden, should be prevalent throughout every day of our life. It's something really, I think, significant that we need to pay attention to. So I feel so excited because I have not really prepared for this. I don't really know where the Lord is going to take us, but we'll get there. We're going to get somewhere. Praise God. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. Genesis 2, verse 9, God planted also the tree of life in the midst of the garden. And Genesis 2, 10, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. So you find the planting of the garden, you find the purpose of the garden, and then you find the watering of the garden. I think that is so important. If you're like me, I love how God has orchestrated the principles of reciprocity, or the laws that govern reciprocity. And so as because I believe in seed sowing, I just, you know, even my time with you today is sowing seed. I teach my children, sow seed, do give, be, you know what I'm saying? Do a seed, deeds that are seed worthy, be a seed, and give a seed, you know, do give, be. And my life has been and is tremendously blessed because I've honored that principles. So I'm fascinated with this whole garden thing that the Holy Spirit, He dropped. And the Lord said, I want you to marry science with faith. I want you to marry that. And I want you to look at the science of the garden And I want you to relate it to faith. And again, praise God. Thank God for people that employ to do construction work. Thank you, Jesus. So first the garden was planted, and then the garden established its purpose. Purpose was every tree to be grown that was pleasant in its sight, good for food, also the tree of life and tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then it was watered. I mean, just right there in the book of Genesis, so powerful. One of the first principles that God, we know the institution of family is first, the institution, but the principle of the law of reciprocity was established first. So you got the law of reciprocity established first, and then you have the institution of the family. And I think that's just so phenomenal. And I just look forward to spending time in God's presence to build this case. I like to say I'm building a case, right? Because that's what the Pharisees did. They were lawyers, doctors of the law. And so they would study and to build a case. Unfortunately, they were too smart. You know, the Bible said knowledge puffs up, and they were too smart for their own good. But, you know, in order to be an effective Christian, to be an effective witness for Christ, to be an effective minister or whatever your vocation and place is, you want to study to show yourself approved. And that may require you, and I often tell my sons and daughters in the faith this, it may require you to study, you know, other subjects. You know, it may require you to study science or gardening or horticulture or zoology. You know what I'm saying? I think sometimes, and religion will do that to you. Religion will box you in and you just stuck between Genesis and Revelation. And while I'm not saying anything is wrong with that, but I also think that if you really examine the scripture and really survey the scripture, and this is why I really appreciate my studies in theology, you know, I really appreciate that because it just broadens your mind and gives you just other dimensions of thoughts to examine. But the Bible is filled with other studies. There's studies on agriculture. There's studies on fishing. There's studies on, studies on the court system. I mean, you could get lost like I do. In the world, there's so much human systems, healthcare systems, biology systems. I mean, there's so much you can get out of the Word of God. Go to the ant. You can study the ant. The Bible talks about horses. The Bible talks about camels. And so as you study, those types of things, you know, we read it but actually study this is what I do. And this is what I train my ministers to. You know, the Bible says, go to the ant, you sluggard. There are two things you need to look at. Okay? Well, three. Number one, you need to know, why is God telling you go to the ant, you sluggard? So, first of all, understand yourself. Why is God telling me this? Number two, study the ant, study the sluggard. And so that way you can get a more comprehensive understanding of what the message is that God has for you. One of my spiritual daughters is a seer. I was talking with her briefly yesterday, and she was feeling, you know, just going through some discouragement in terms of not really understanding what God was showing her. And in that, she shut down, you know, she sort of shut down. And I told her, we're not going to always understand what we see. I don't know who needs to hear this, but we're not going to always understand that we see, but we're still obligated to report what we've seen. That's what the job of a watchman, a seer, you know what I'm saying? Those with ear and eye gifts in the body, we're required, we're obligated. You know, the Bible said, watchman, you know, what is it of the night? You know, in other words, what's going on? So if you are a seer, if you're walking in that dimension, that's your reasonable service, is to see. Now, you know, you've done that part. The understanding may not come right away. And that's what I was sharing with her. So don't let the fact that you don't get it, it doesn't make sense, you can't discern it, or you can't decode it or decipher it, don't let that stop you from reporting what you've seen. You know, that's why the Bible says we know in part, we prophesy in part, right? Until that day when Jesus comes and, you know, he'll take away the veil and our understanding will be made clear. But also understanding, too, that God, that's why the Bible said, let one prophet prophesy and two or three stand by and judge. So that even if you, whether you understand it or not, someone else can enhance the interpretation of it. Someone else can add an understanding of it, something that God may have unlocked in the mind of one person nearby or another person nearby. And out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So God is always about teamwork. So you got to be leery. you know, just be leery about certain things, because if you always want to do things by yourself, I was telling somebody this yesterday in a meeting that, you know, it was God's plan for us to function in community. I don't know why this, listen, I'm trying to talk to y'all about the garden, but the spirit of prophecy is taking me somewhere. But it was God's plan from the beginning for us to function in community. But if there are areas, I did a paper on this last night, if there are areas in your life where you are traumatized, then that's going to, you know, community is going to be a stumbling block. Form a community, joining community is going to be a stumbling block for you. But it's also going to rob you of the nutrients that are in the soil of that community that you need to grow and flourish and be productive in your seasons. Okay? So that's that. God bless you. I don't know who that was for, but you can have that one for free. So back to Genesis chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10, 15, 16. We find here that after God created the heavens and the earth and all that was, he prepared, he tilled the ground. He tilled the ground. And this, it reminds me of a prophetic word I released on this past Sunday. And I was talking about how, you know, in essence, when God's tilling the ground or something, it looks chopped up. If you ever have any farming experience, or you can Google what that looks like, that blade goes into the ground and it chops up all the root systems of the previous farming season. And let me tell you something, if the earth could respond, you would hear some howling like you'd probably never heard in your life, because that blade goes down deep. It's going down several inches. This is not a surface level thing. That blade goes deep into the soil, deep enough to rip up, uproot, as the Bible would say, those old root systems. Because there are certain seasons in your life, this is for somebody, that God doesn't want, that God is not, what's the word? There are certain seasons of your life where the fruit that you produced in your last season is not what God is expecting from you in this season. You know, and just say ouch, amen, because I had to say ouch in my own spirit, man, because I like the way my fruit looked in my last season. I really liked it. I really, really liked it. However, the blade has gone down into the soil and the tilling has taken place. And when the tilling takes place, you feel like you have lost complete control. It's going to obscure the way you look at things. It's going to, because if you think about, just think about being earth for a moment, which we are dirt bodies, as late Dr. Miles Monroe would say. But you think about looking from the ground upwards and you see this blade coming down and it's going to totally obscure your vision. It's going to obscure you. Instead of you seeing just a straight landscape, you're going to see outward through chaos and all types of, you know, just distorted vision. And sometimes that happens when you're in that tilling season. But don't lose heart, okay? Because you got to understand, and we're still talking about garden science of a garden. When God is tilling you, when God is ripping up and uprooting, it's painful. Nobody gets cut and smiles about it. It's painful. But you have, like I told my church Sunday, you got to trust. You know, you got to trust God's tractor. You got to trust his blade. You got to trust his pruning shears. You got to trust that. And you have to know that he's not going to inflict any harm upon you and just leave you to bleed out. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to come back and fix that. So he's got to go in. And that's what the Lord did in chapter one of the book of Genesis. He went in and he dealt with the waters. Waters represent trouble. Waters represent, in that particular instance, the corrupt systems that were covering the earth, that suffocated the purpose of the earth. And before God could speak to the earth, God had to deal with the water. Now that I wrote that in my book, Let There Be Light. Please get it. Because I really got this really spoke to me in terms of, you know, that earth process, and then mirrored it to our life. You know, many times we want God to do it, God fix it. And God, there are certain systems that have to be dealt with first. So, yeah, that book is Let There Be Light. And if you don't have it, go get it. Amazon, or hit me up, my website, tlcor.org, and get that book. And it will help you understand, you know, how God will fight to make sure that you accomplish your expected end. God will do it. God confirmed. The Bible said the spirit hovered. I don't want to get too much in that, but the spirit hovered over the darkness of the deep. And this hovering was a confrontation. And so there are areas in your life, you know, I talked about it in the podcast, confronting jealousy. The areas that we have to confront. We have to confront. We have to. There are certain areas in our life we have to be confrontational. You can't tuck tail and run and say Jesus is going to fix it. No, you're going to have to stand up. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. Ask God to give you a spirit of boldness, to get delivered from spirits of timidity, intimidation, fear. You know, get rid of all of that, because that's going to limit your capacity to reach your fullest destiny, your fulfill your fullest purpose. Fear will do it. You'll always be afraid of what they're going to say, and how they're going to don't like the way I dress, and my hair, and my weight, and my complexion, and my car. Get rid of all of that. Okay? God told Ezekiel, I was studying Ezekiel before I went to bed last night. I think I read the first 5 chapters, and the Lord kept telling Ezekiel, don't worry about their faces. He said, you know they are rebellious people. He told Ezekiel, he said, they rebel against me, so they're going to rebel against you, but you still do what I told you to do. Okay? So, praise God. So first God planted the garden, and then he gave purpose to the garden, and then he watered the garden. Once the water garden was watered, look at what came from it, the man. Okay? And then we know later on, of course, the woman and so forth. So So we have to be very, and then of course the enemy showed up. He's always waiting. As soon as God gets finished doing the work, here comes the devil showing up, right? So God made the garden, gave it purpose, watered it, put man there, husband and wife, teamwork, right? Teamwork. And then here comes the enemy. So, you know, like I said, there are 52 verses to garden. The Bible even refers to marriage or a man's wife as a closed up garden or a secret garden. And, you know, I won't get into that right now. One of these days I'm going to teach on that because... praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to get on away from that. So, but by the time we get toward the end, and this is sort of what I wanted to pull out to you. We talked about Genesis, right? Opening up with the garden. And then I want you to get down to the book of John. This is John chapter 19, verse 41. Here's what it says. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher wherein was never man yet laid. Now, if you follow that narrative, right, you find from the very beginning of humanity to the beginning of the birthing of the church, God was working in gardens. Humanity began in the garden. The purpose of earth began in the garden. Sin crept in into the garden. The serpent was discovered. He had been cast down, that dragon of old, the Bible said. He had been cast down. And so that's why God had to deal with the waters, because he was governing those things. And God had to back that thing up and give waters border, you know, give it parameters so that the earth could come up and fulfill her purpose. But you find all throughout the, from Genesis through the New Testament, or through the end of the New Testament, not the end of the four Gospels. Let me put that right. From Genesis to the end of the four Gospels, you find the mentioning of gardens. And then finally, in John chapter 19, verse 41, the purpose of the garden had been fulfilled. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, that just makes me want to praise God right there. Finally, the purpose of the garden was fulfilled when Jesus entered in and began to pray concerning this next chapter of his life. It was going to be the final chapter of his humanity, but the first chapter of our new relationship with God as sons and daughters, and not as bastards and heathens and what's the other word? Barbarians. So there's something powerful in the garden that I think we need to look at. And you know, as I was meditating on it, I said, God, every area of our life is a garden. Every area of your life is a garden. Every area of your life is a garden. Your relationship, first of all, with God is a garden. And going back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, you know, how do we tend that? What do we do with that? You know, do we just let our gardens grow? The Bible said God put man there to tend it. And then I mentioned, I think in an earlier broadcast, I talked about when God released Israel into Canaan, and he told Joshua, he said, I'm only going to, I'm going to go before you, but I'm not going to clear the land out. Otherwise the beast will overtake you. So even in that, there are certain seasons that you're going to enter into gardens, right? A garden of a promotion, a garden of some property you're about to inherit or purchase or whatever. But even in that, there's going to be some tilling that you have to do. And I think, you know, especially those in the body of Christ who have picked up this, I don't know, this kind of lazy, complacent spirit that we just sit back and pray and wait for Jesus to do everything. I think we miss that. I think we miss what happened with God and with God originally in the garden. He put Adam there. He said, dress the garden, keep it, tend it. So there is a responsibility that we must embrace for every garden of our life, whatever your garden looks like. You're going to have to dress it, you're going to have to tend it, and you're going to have to keep it. Okay? You're going to have to, I was trying to find that scripture, but I don't want to get too far. Yeah, you're going to have to do some work in your garden. It's not just going to spring up and shoot up and do that by itself. I'm trying to, hold on. Let's see. I'm just looking down Isaiah chapter 1 verse 30. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden with what? No water. What is a garden with no water? It's just dry patched, dry parched earth. Isaiah 61:1. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it. That's it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. As the garden causeth the things that are sown in it. So there are things that you and I have to sow into our garden. When we talk about the garden of our relationship with God, we have to sow into it. Well, what do you sow into your garden with your relationship with God? Number one, obedience, discipleship, prayer, faith, fasting, sacrificing. You know what I'm saying? There are things that you, this garden is not, is not self-governing. You know, you can't just hit the self clean cycle or the self soul cycle and it work. You have to put that work into it. Jesus put work into his garden. He put so much work into it that we know the story. His sweat became as drops of blood. He labored in prayer in that garden. He sowed seed in that garden. And when his body was placed in that tomb, it sprung him back forth. The Bible says, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. So whatever you sow, you got to be careful that whatever you sow into this garden, it will spring forth. So if you're springing forth, neglect into your garden with God, you're springing forth rebellion into your garden with God, it's just the laws of nature. Again, it's just science. It's going to spring forth. We talked about the root of bitterness, right? That spring forth and troubles many. So you can't just be careless about the seed that you're sowing. You got to be intentional about it. So there's the garden of your relationship with God. There's the garden of your relationships with people. You know, are you available for people? Do you help people? Do you support people? Do you, do you offer resources? You know what I'm saying? What are you sowing into your garden relationships with people? And then what are you getting back? And I'll tell you this, and hear me carefully, or hear me lightly, I will walk lightly here. Even if you neglect to sow into these relationships, that's a harvest too. Because you'll find many people will get in trouble or, act out some kind of way. And then when trouble comes, you know what I'm saying? You're looking for people to help you, but have you sown help? Have you given help? Have you given aid? Have you supported? Have you interceded? Have you, have you joined hands, or are you just aloof, standoffish, reluctant, don't want to be bothered? But then when your season comes, and trust me, the earth is cyclical, seed time and harvest, it will never end, the Bible says. So when your season comes where you need help, do you have help? And so if, many people act brand new when harvest comes. Well, I don't know why this is happening in my life. Oh, I don't know why this is not working out for me the way that it is. And I'm telling you, God is not mocked. There's you may not know why, but there is a reason why we have a certain harvest. Listen now, Things just don't come up out of the ground by themselves. Things just don't come up out of the ground by themselves. Whatever is springing forth, like the prophet Isaiah said, had been sown. And so many times, you know, and I'm just gonna go there, right? Because we can go there. Many times we sow things, we say things, we do things, or we don't say things and don't do things. You know, we hold back. You know, you're supposed to sow seed, and we scatter. You know what I'm saying? And then when it's time for us to harvest, and there's nothing there. Oh, well, I need somebody to help me. Where's the? You know, I'm not gonna say what the normal catchphrase is, but you know where I'm going. You know, where's my help? Where's so and so? Well, what have you sown into that? This is so vitally important. You've got to understand what garden systems do for you. That's why God said you got to marry science and faith. Understand what garden systems do for you. It ensures that in your time of need, in your time of lack, in your time of sorrow, in your time of whatever, there have been provisions put in place. You have put seed in the ground. The Bible talks about, what's that scripture? About my seed. Hold on. I got to escape me right now. It's about seed big and bread. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed. You hear that? Nor his seed begging bread. Now, I know he's talking about our offspring, your offspring. But look at those key words there. Righteous. Never forsaken. What does righteous mean? Having upstanding with God. Having an upright or walking in an upstanding relationship with God, basically. And so the word of God said, when you do that, when you walk upright before me, and you know what scripture says, I withhold no good thing from them who walk upright before me. When you do the right thing in your garden, when you do the right thing, God said, you will never be forsaken. And even those who are in your influence, those who are looking to you for sustenance, will never beg, because they'll eat from your garden. You and I are living off of the garden that Jesus sown into in Gethsemane, in John chapter 19:41. We're eating it. We are the tree. The Bible said the plantings of the Lord, the trees of righteousness. We are the trees that came up out of that ground. When his blood dropped, his sweat dropped, when his body went down, when he became a seed, Jesus himself became a seed. There's some relationships you're going to have to become a seed in it. That means, here I go. Hold on. Here I come. Because I'm coming with it. That means whereas you're expecting other people in the relationship to do all the work, you may be the one. Jesus needed help from his disciples, from the apostles. No one was in position to help him. But did that negate him? Did that release him from his obligation to sow seed? No, ma'am. No, sir. If nobody else does it, you still have to do it. You have to become seed. You have to be the seed in that relationship. So you find a relationship and both people are stubborn. Nobody want to give in. That's a seed too. And it's going to flourish, and you'll find out later on if you keep that up. But, you know, when you look at seed in terms of, you know what, nobody is going to vacuum this floor. So fine, I'll do it. I'll vacuum the floor. That's becoming seed. It's dying. You know, you don't want to do it. Seed doesn't want to go on the ground and die. Who wants to do that? But that's what you do to preserve that relationship. Keep yourself from being frustrated. Keep the floor looking clean. You just do it. All right. Let me see what else I want to share with you. Again, I'm just looking at these verses out of garden. And, you've got to tend to your own garden. Your own garden. There's a scripture that says death and life is in the power of the tongue. Those who love it eat the fruit thereof. So guess what? Death and life is in the power of the tongue. You're out of your mouth. The seed comes out of your mouth. And you will eat the fruit of it. You know, so like I said, we act brand new when things happen, and we wonder, you know, where, you know, cause some seed takes time coming out the ground. It's in no hurry. It's in no hurry. You know, that thing went out there. We did it. We said it. We partnered with it and put that seed in the ground. And then here, 5-10 years later, it shows up. And, you know, we're just bewildered. Oh, my God. What is this? And it's seed. It's harvest. It's a harvest. Let me see. Luke chapter 13, verse 19. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden. Bless his heart for all the horns. Praise God. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed or became a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged the branches into it. Again, looking at, he took a small, you know, mustard seed is very small. He took it, cast it into the sea, into the garden, and it grew. That little small seed, Luke 13, 19, that little small seed grew and became a great big tree. So you think about that, and I'm getting ready to close. You think about that in terms of your relationship gardens, all of your relationship gardens, you know, name them, name your relationship gardens, and then look at each garden individually and examine the seed that you put into it. What does my God relationship garden look like? What does my marriage relationship garden look like? What does my children relationship garden look like? What does my career relationship job look like? What is my education job? What are you putting into it? You don't put anything to it. There's no need in you showing up 3 months later looking with a basket. You know what I'm saying? There's no need in you walking to your garden 3 months later with a basket. You know, what you going to get? You didn't put nothing in there, so you don't get nothing. Right. So and that's a harvest. Listen, nothing is a harvest, too. You know, nothing is a harvest. It's the fruit of nothing. Nothing is a harvest, and it's a fruit of nothing. You do nothing, you get nothing. That's the way that works. It's directly correlated. So that little small mustard seed, which a man took, cast into his garden, grew, became a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches. This thing became a great, big, huge tree, but it started as a small seed. So I think I'm going to stop there. I was looking at some other garden scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden, talking about Satan, Lucifer. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. Okay? He said, you were in, so you got to identify, there are people that belongs, not belongs, but there are people that circle certain gardens of your life. And it's good to identify that. Who belongs in this garden? Who belongs in that garden? Now, of course, Lucifer doesn't belong in any of them, but I'm just using the context to show you that there are certain people that may be in your career garden, may not be in your family garden. And don't try to group them. You know, keep them separate. Keep those gardens separate. Let me see. Yeah, I think I'm going to stop there. This is Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat, for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their souls shall be as a watered garden. And that's what we want, a watered garden. You want all of your gardens to be well watered, well tended to, you know, well established, packed with seed, so that the blessings of the Lord will overtake your life, because you are a diligent, you are a good steward over every seed that God gives you. You are a good steward. And so your life just flows with abundance. Flows with abundance. Every season of your life. That's what the book, Man of Psalm 1. Every season, this man is fruitful in every area. He's fruitful in his career. He's fruitful in his relationship with God. He's fruitful in his marriage. He's fruitful with his children. He's fruitful on his job. He's fruitful in the community. He's fruitful. Why? Because he's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He's sucking up the nutrients of God every day, all day. Leaf don't wither. Come on, somebody. Powerful. So that's that. Talking about the gardens, the science of gardens, and just wanted to give you some food for thought. Just think about some of your own individual gardens. And, you know, I often like to do this. If you have sown some bad seed, go to God in prayer and ask for crop failure, so that you don't have to eat of that corrupt harvest. You don't have things manifesting in your body or in your relationships things that you didn't even see coming, things that take you unawares, because it was in the ground, and it by the laws of nature, it has to come up. It has to. So what you do, if you know you put some bad seed in the ground, don't go blaming devils and witches and warlocks and what happened in your family line. You go, you put that seed in the ground. So you go and you uproot it in the power of God and in the name of Jesus, and set fire to the field. Set fire to the field and burn that stuff up. Burn up every corrupt seed, burn up the field, and put the blade in the earth and dig it and get to the root. You have to do that. You have to labor in prayer to do that. Okay, if you don't labor in prayer to do that, you're going to labor with that harvest you don't want. Amen. And God doesn't want that for you, and neither do I. So I pray this word has blessed you today. I pray that you're going to look at your relationships a little bit differently. I pray that you will be more vigilant over the things that God has entrusted you to. And I also pray that you'll take a few moments out of your day and do some garden research. You know, brother, God may, you actually may look up some actual gardens. Maybe you have a garden. I've got sort of kind of one. And just kind of let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Lord teach you out of that. Amen. All right. Well, we love you and we pray God's best for you. Until next time, grace and peace.